Have you ever wanted to blow up your credit card? Or perhaps the credit cards of your teenage children? Well, now it's possible, using a particularly energetic form of silicon. Here's Professor Joe Shapter at Flinders University in South Australia.
Well, the material actually looks very much like a small piece of silicon. So it's basically just a 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter gray square. It looks very ordinary and completely benign. Then what we do is we apply a very, very small spark. And depending on exactly how the material has been prepared, you can get anything from a very small pop to quite a big bang with a few flames and sparks flying out in various different directions. So if we prepare it properly, it can actually be quite spectacular.
How do you get that bang? In other words, where is the energy in the lattice of the material?
So where we get the energy is, in fact, we're converting the silicon from just ordinary silicon or silicon with very weak bonds, in fact, to silicon which has been oxidized. So now it has a silicon-oxygen bond. And that, in fact, is the strongest bond known in normal chemistry. And so you're going from a situation where you have very weak bonds to very strong bonds, and that releases an enormous amount of energy.
Does it cost you a lot to put the energy into this material?
No, it's actually very, very, very cheap, in fact, because lots of the energy comes from a second chemical which is in there, and that facilitates the oxidation. So, in fact, they're very cheap to make, and so you get the energy at very, very low cost.
So why do you want to make a potentially explosive material? You're not looking for another form of ordnance, are you?
In this particular case, we're not. In other parts of the center, in fact, we are. In this particular case, the nice thing about this material is that it's very, very safe and nothing will happen to it unless you specifically try to prepare it in a certain way. What that allows you to do is provide some control of the process so you can have a small bang or a little bang. You can have your bangs all in a line if you want, and you can make those bangs bigger and bigger and bigger or smaller and smaller and smaller. And because it's made of silicon, of course, there are lots of places where you can put the material and do very useful things. So, for example, you could use this material to deploy airbags in cars and do that very, very reliably and very, very quickly, which, of course, is important in that application.
One of the applications that I've read about connected with you is if I've got a credit card, let's say somebody's stolen it, and you want to destroy it, you could, in fact, if it was made of this material, at a distance, blow it up so that it just disintegrated and disappeared.
So we're not proposing to blow up the whole credit card. In fact, what we're proposing to do is render the little chip on the new credit cards inoperable so that when you go to the store and it scans your little microchip, the chip isn't readable anymore, and of course your credit card is no longer usable. So the idea really is that if your card was stolen and somebody else tried to use it, you can remotely render that card no longer usable, and of course that protects the rightful owner of the card.
How would you do that?
Right, so it's just a wireless technology where you would send a small voltage to that chip. That voltage would then be applied to the very small amount of material we would put in, and that would render the microchip that's on the card no longer operable.
By mobile phone or something?
Sure, any wireless technology, but mobile phone is the most obvious example of that in society right now.
So I can imagine the person who robbed me somewhere at a distance. Let's say I got robbed at Flinders University and the guy for some reason has gone to the University of Adelaide. Very suspicious bunch over there. And you decide that you want to render that credit card inoperable. Would it be too far away for the message to come from the mobile phone? And what would happen? Would the person with the card in the wallet feel an explosion in the breast pocket?
The answer to the first part of the question is no, it wouldn't be too far away. You know, basically, as long as it was within access of something like a mobile phone network, you could do this. The person who was carrying the card would likely, in fact, not even know anything would have happened. And lots of the work here at Flinders is all about controlling the size of the reaction that happens. So it would be a very, very small reaction. The chip on the credit card would no longer work. But in fact, the card probably wouldn't look any different. And, you know, you certainly wouldn't feel a bang in your pocket or anything like that. You wouldn't even know anything had happened.
But you could. I mean, if I were operating spooks and I really did want to have someone compromised, I think they put it in technical language, then I make sure that they pick up this particular card, whatever it happens to be, and you could, at a distance, knock them off. You could explode this card-sized thing in their breast pocket and stun them or whatever.
we could do the sort of Mission Impossible type thing and destroy the message after they had accepted the mission. In fact, it would probably be quite difficult to make enough material in sort of a credit card size to really do any serious damage. So, you know, you'd get a bit of a bang and you might feel a bit of a bump. But the chance of being able to put enough material in a small enough area where you could sort of do damage to anybody, I think, would be pretty small.
So here is a material which has obviously got fantastic potential. Beyond spooks, taking it seriously, what would you use the stuff for?
A lot of the applications, in fact, in this are to use it in smart ways to initiate other processes. So I mentioned airbags is one example. Well, there are lots of cases where you want to set off a series of reactions in a very particular order with a very particular size. So, you know, blowing up big buildings is a classic example of this. And so this silicon is a remote way you can do this, and also an incredibly tunable way you can do this, where you can make very small reactions in a very defined pattern, and that can get your energetic material or other process to happen in a certain sequence. For example, in the mining industry, where you want to set off a series of charges in a particular order, and you want to be very sure about how those charges go off and how large the reactions are when they do go off.
You said that this is part of the system that you have, which is not connected with ordnance, but another part was. What's that second part?
Well, the centre that we run is actually connected to the Defence Science and Technology Organisation, and so many of the applications the centre works on are all about military applications, and you know, that's about making sure, for example, ordnance that the Australian military uses are safe, making sure that they can be stored for long periods of time. And so that's really all about, A, making sure that our military is safe when they use these materials. It's all about also making sure that we can clean up these materials after they've been used, which is now getting to be a bigger and bigger issue all the time.
Is this an example of nanotechnology, perhaps?
The particular example on the credit card we've been talking about is a nanotechnology example, because it uses material that we control at the nanometer level, and that's part of where the energy comes from.
I've noticed that you're not exactly with a South Australian accent. Where does your accent come from?
I grew up in Canada. In fact, I grew up in a place called Newfoundland on the east coast of Canada. So I'm fondly referred to as a Newfie. In Australian terms, that's a bit like being from Tasmania, in fact.
So you'd know about the North American as well as the Australian effort with nanotechnology. After all the promise, for the first phase, there were no particular products, and then suddenly we're in business. How would you sum up the situation at the moment in 2008, 2009, the ways in which these nano products are coming online?
Yeah, so I think actually your summary is spot on. There was a lot of promise for a long time and very little delivery. Now, around the world and also in Australia, there are lots of products being delivered because of the nanotechnology behind them. And I think it's actually a really exciting time, because there will be some really, really exciting new products and new procedures around, and, you know, the potential to treat cancer better and detect cancer earlier, for example, are very much close at hand now, where 5 or 10 years ago, I think it was all hype. And so it's a very exciting time.
Newfie Professor Joe Shapter at Flinders University in Adelaide.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.